America and good afternoon, Australia. You're listening to Radio Tony and I'm your host, Tony Lontis. Now, I have to say, we have had our share of technical issues this morning. The wonderful, amazing team at BBS, Don and TJ, have been running around in the background to get us live. And although we're late, we are really glad to be here. I have to add to that a website going down for the whole weekend and my emails going down and not receiving a different link for us to join live on the show today. And thankfully, I have an amazing husband at home that was able to connect with my wonderful guest today, and who I'm going to bring on shortly. But first, I just want to tell you just a quick word about the American election. Congratulations and well done, America. I do think that you will have a bit of a tough road ahead. I feel heartsick for the worsening coronavirus, the unemployment, the inequality and the division that is clearly evident across your amazing country. And I think that it will take an amazing leader to show some real strength of leadership and some courage to take on all the factions and all the inequality and all the divisions across America and unite them as one, because you are an amazing big country with wonderful people, and I hate to see you all struggling so much. So here at Radio Tony Everyday Business, I like to interview and present not only those businesses from the big end of town or those that are perceived as big conglomerations of business. I also want to talk to heart-centered entrepreneurs and business owners that keep each and every one of us healthy, happy, and healed. From small and medium businesses who are real people making real differences in the lives of people across the world. And bearing in mind that the fastest growing demographic across the world at the moment are those in the over 50s. And it's their wisdom that we need to continue to tap into, because they have a lifetime of stories, understanding and learning. And with that in mind, it's a real privilege for me to showcase this wonderful man that I'm going to be talking to you today. So Grant Wood is a massage therapist and a body flow personal trainer. 68-year-old Grant enjoys helping others maintain and improve all aspects of healing, from injury recovery to flexibility and range of movement to general fitness, and which does not compromise your spine, muscles, tendons or joints. Grant works predominantly with people over 50 and enhances their lives through targeted programs, massage, reflexology and gentle flowing exercises designed to keep his clients happy and healthy. He uses the concept of being totally present with breath, mind, body and spirit, as well as encompassing an emotional connection. The vision behind Grant's business is to use his knowledge and understanding from his personal experience with sporting and work-related injuries to provide quality solutions to clients around general wellness and exercise that shouldn't hurt. He likes working with people who want to experience a no-impact style fitness, and it improves range of movement and flexibility that enhances your life, and he loves what he does. So I want to introduce you to you today, the amazing Grant Wood. Good afternoon, Grant.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for having the opportunity to listen to what I'll share based on my passion.
I feel privileged that we're able to present a show together, and I know that Grant is nervous today, and we to add to that all the technical issues that we've had getting on air. So I'm really proud of him today, and I know that as we get into this conversation today, you'll know and learn about the man that I think who is amazing as well. So Grant, I want to start at the beginning, and I want to talk about you and your life up until this point. When you were little, did you dream about doing what you're doing now?
No, I didn't really, because I was brought up on a dairy farm. So life was based around living and things that you have to do on a farm. So no, I didn't dream about what I'm doing sort of now. My pathway probably took me that way.
So Grant, did you expect that you would be going into the farming industry, having that as your background? Is that the thought that you thought about what you were going to do later in life?
I loved the farm life, and I probably would have liked to taken over the farm, but I was sort of too young when my dad's health perhaps we had to sell the farm early. So my life went on another little pathway, and I got the opportunity to go into actually teaching. I got offered to go and have a go at teaching. But first of all, I was very interested in going into the national parks and stuff like that, but that opportunity didn't come about. So I had the opportunity to go and to become a school teacher, where I specialised in physical education teaching.
So whereabouts have you worked with your PE teaching?
I did my initial training in New Zealand. That's where I did. Yes. So my early working years was in New Zealand. It wasn't in the place where I was brought up. It was right up in the beautiful far north of the Bay of Islands, a place called Kaia in Whangaroa Harbour. But because I love the mountains and used to go down in the mountains, just hiking. We call it tramping in New Zealand, but hiking or that. And I used to do a lot, go hunting as well in the mountains. So I thought, well, opportunity, I went down the South Island. So my early teaching years was down the South Island, just in a little place called inland from Christchurch. I was there in my first year of teaching, 1974, actually. And from there, I went over to the wild and woody west coast of the South Island, which is kind of very rugged, a lot of rain, mountainous, and all that. So that's where I spent a couple of years doing teaching, where I combined classroom teaching in primary school and doing a lot of physical education and pursuing my love of the outdoors. So I spent pretty well every weekend in the mountains.
That sounds like a wonderful idea of a lifestyle to me. So obviously you didn't stay in New Zealand. At what point did you move back to Australia?
I was born in New Zealand. I was brought up on the dairy farm. So my early years was on a farm. So I was born in New Zealand, in that little place called Kaia and stuff like that, where the farm was, where I had my early childhood. And that, which is a very active life, and like that, which I loved. it was in 1977, or the beginning of 1977, that I came over to Australia, just on a on a whim with a mate, just for a holiday, basically. Yes. So I came over just for a holiday, and that just to see, not intending to stay.
Just
came over on the whim as a as a youngster. I think I was about 24 at the time there. And then I just thought, oh, well, I'll go and see what's going with the teaching. So I applied and got offered some positions, jobs up there in the outback of Queensland in mining towns.
Yes.
So I just started my teaching in Queensland. I was doing a combination of like classroom, primary school,
yes,
and physical education. Yeah. So some days I do PE and some days I do classroom. So yeah, so that was my, and I was 3 years there in the mining towns. And then I had an opportunity to go and run outdoor education camps, which is in central Queensland. So I did that for 3 years, and that was in Yeppoon, which is near the Capricorn Coast, Rockhampton. And I did that for 3 years, and I loved that lifestyle where I had groups of children coming in from different areas of central Queensland. Normally come in, their age range from 11 to 13 there, their last years in primary school, and they'd come in for a week, and I ran the program. So there was anything from 60 to about 80 children at a time. And the teachers would come from those various schools, but I ran those exciting programs for the children for a week. So they come in for a week, and I did that.
Fantastic.
So that was good. Yeah.
So you taught for a number of years, and then what was the next step after teaching?
Okay, right. After I finished the camps, I did do carried on full-time part where I came down to the coast, the Gold Coast area, and I was doing a variety of that thing. You normally should have been in a school where you did two, and that was I was full-time PE school teaching then, full-time PE teaching at various schools on the coast. You'd be sort of do one school for 3 days, another school for 2 days. There, I was out a little bit out there in the hinterland of the coast, Gold Coast, Canungra, Tambourine Mountain. That's where I did my first type of schools on the Gold Coast. And that's what I was doing again, full-time PE, which I love the teaching, but was challenged by the system a lot. But I love
it. I was just going to say, what was the moment in time when you thought, okay, this education system's not great, I'm out of here, and then what did you do?
All right. Just first of all, like it came about through with massage, because I was a high-level competing athlete, endurance, mostly endurance athletes. There, a lot of marathons, mountain running, mountain biking, a combination called adventure races and things like that. Of course, you get knocked around a bit. So I used to sort of get some massages. That was kind of like an early. And I first started doing that when I was running outdoor education camps. So I used to receive regular massages. And I thought, oh, when the opportunity came about, I'm going to do that because I just sort of loved it. So I started doing various massage courses, and I loved it, and I had a feeling for it because I was told by the affiliate, they said, you've just got a natural touch to it. So I just started pursuing it more and more, those type of things. And that, so from that, I finished full-time teaching in the year 2000 and just did a little bit of part-time teaching, mostly PE, sometimes classroom. Yeah. And that, because I love the actual teaching aspects, but the system. And then I, over those next few years, I gradually phased out of teaching, did less and less teaching, and more and more therapy work.
And from that, you grew to love
a lot
the
of
therapy component.
Yes. Yeah, I gained a lot. I sustained many, many serious injuries in my sporting years because I was very, very competitive and I did quite well. So I belted myself up a fair bit because it was all like high endurance, high impact stuff, because it also included in my younger years I played high level provincial rugby union. But that wasn't really my sort of love. I was kind of like, I love the mountains and I love endurance events. So it's like constant thrashing your body. So I got to a point probably in my early 40s, that the body said, no more of that sort of stuff. So I went on an ongoing mission to find great ways to help myself initially, to keep in wellness shape without being belted up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was a challenge, a big challenge, because one was so used to coal like that, just off all the, you could get results, you had to go and beat yourself up. So it was a challenge to make that transition, yeah.
Great. Can you tell our listeners about some of those injuries, the key main ones, and what you learnt about looking after and healing your body? I'm going to hand over to you to tell our listeners about that. My little dog is snoring under my feet, and while you're telling the listeners about your injuries, I'm going to grab her. Over to you, Grant.
Okay, right. I'll give a list of my injuries, which it's like an ongoing mission to manage them. I've had from all my impact, I've had 6 herniated discs, which come and go, but I manage and I don't get any issue with that now. I've had a dislocated shoulder, dislocated hip. That was probably started off because when I was on the farm, I did have a serious tractor accident. So my hip got compound, and then harsh rugby union, and then all my endurance events sort of aggravated that. I've had 3 operations on my knees, not a reconstruction, but sort of clean out, total shred administers, that thing. So any impact, high impact sort of stuff. So no running, no that sort of like that, because that just like aggravates everything, which again was a big challenge for me, because kind of like I used to run anything from kind of like 100 to 160 kilometres a week and just in my training, like that. So I know in the US that I'd have to convert that to miles.
To miles.
To miles would create, well, 100 Ks is 60 miles, so up to 160. So, so that's what I used to cover on an average week and just in my training and stuff like that. So the body was constantly being beat up, constant impact all the time. Even though I was like avoiding hard surfaces, I knew that I had to avoid this, but it was still like that was still a constant high impact. And because I had injuries from my farm, from farm work, from rugby union and all that, so I just like compounded that issue. So from there, I just went into my mission. Yeah,
I was going to remind our listeners that farm work, and particularly dairying, is hard work on your body. There's a lot of physical components. Or back when your dad had the dairy, there were lots of physical components to the work of running a farm. And, of course, those impacts eventually come back to haunt you. I want to just check back to your hip injury, Grant. What were some of the things that were key to getting you mobile again? Because that was a substantial injury.
Yeah, that's it. So just the hip and the back, because I'd been in a situation where I'd been just like couldn't move, you know, just sort of a daze and stuff like that. Another injury I've had. I've got 2 titanium bolts and a plate in my neck from dangerous compression in C3, 4, and 5. So I lost the whole use of my arm. It wasted away, had to have the mechanics, but they took a long time to realise, and I kept saying to them, I said, it's really from my neck, but they weren't listening to me. But anyway, by that time the arm was wasting away, but I eventually sort of got that mechanics all done and stuff like that, and they said, oh, we mightn't get your arm back in action too much, we won't get sort of back. And I said, oh, that's what you say. I said, you just watch me, what I do. So I went into ongoing mission, which is still ongoing, to build my arm back, to get it mobile again, range of motion and everything like that, which took a period of probably a good 12 months from when I had the operation, which was back, the operation on my neck was back and done 2009, that. So it took 12 months to get it back. But I got it back. There's certain weakness in certain movements, but I got it back where I can sort of do just pretty well everything, and got the muscle movement back, get the muscle memory back, and all that. So yeah, so I worked on that.
Great.
And yeah, certainly didn't listen too much to the medical physios because they weren't doing much at all. So I went on my own mission.
Grant, what were some of the exercises that were key to getting back your memory muscle? And I want to actually talk about what muscle memory means. So let's talk about that first. What is muscle memory?
Muscle memory is you kind of like muscles got to get used to sort of kind of like working in a certain way because it comes from the muscle nerves and that with all the attachments points and stuff like that. So when you sort of lose that, your muscles lose memory on how to function. So you have to develop that back. And I did that a lot through Qigong.
Right. Qigong. And were there specific exercises that you did to get that arm moving again?
Yes, gentle rotational movements, just small little movements. And I used to use a little ball. To get little movements going. Yeah, little movements. And I used to do that all the time. Plus certain remedial massages from people where I had some of my training from and did there, where they'd sort of work on the insertion points. And, going through the healing was quite painful at times, but I sort of knew to do that. And because I was big into breath control, to get that, because you had to break up. I call it the connective where the muscles connect onto the joints and the skeletal system. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's where most muscle injuries come from, is where the muscles attach onto the joints and onto the skeletal system because they're having little tug of wars there, and that's where people get their inflammations and stuff like that. So you just like build in range of motion, and pretty well all my movements are based around little subtle small little flowing movements to get that range of motion, because people when they move in normally only move just in two dimensional. So one experiment around in moving the muscles in different range of motion, all the different ways that your muscles can move, where people kind of like sort of do repetitive movements all the sort of time. So my big emphasis was to get beautiful range of motion and to just go to where your threshold point is and just keep doing that. And as your range of motion improves, you go further. So it was just like being consistent and persistent with your movement.
There seems to be a lot more evidence now for slow, gentle repetitiveness. Is that true, Grant?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, you explore the different ways that you can move. You can move forward, back, diagonally forward, diagonally backwards, lateral, and all that, all different angles and degrees and stuff like that. You slow and controlled, where posture is important and stuff like that. Because I'll bring back a lot of my clients come from people who are doing like boot camps where it's all like 100 mile an hour. And a lot of injuries come from that, where their posture goes. They're endeavouring to get as many as they can, as quickly as they can. So the posture goes, so they're putting their body under load and compromisation all the time. I've now been young because I've run those classes and all that, so I can relate. So I'm in about slowing people down. It's about my flow is like move like animals in nature with balance, grace and harmony and total presence, because animals in nature only go fast when they need to, very short spaces of time. So you just like move with grace and balance. So all my movements is all about that. And I endeavoured it, and it's a thing that I had to learn, was about slowing down and being present, maintaining, being conscious of your posture, even when just like sitting down like we are now, is to be present off and being aware of your posture, so you're not slouching and all that sort of stuff. Because as soon as you slouch, you're putting pressure on your joints and your muscles and then, you start getting the muscles having tug of wars and fights against each other. And that's where the issues come. Muscle imbalance. It really
is important to be conscious of how you're sitting, how you're walking, how you're standing, because that can lead to injuries if you push your body too far. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. So if you're not conscious or present with what you're sort of doing, yes, and you just like might walk a little bit differently. So if you've got a little ache, your sort of body's trying to compensate all the time. So again, you've got that tug of warring happening, those imbalances happening, because all the people that I just see, all their injuries relate to, unless they've had a fall, a sudden fall or something like that. But a lot of that repetitive injuries come from muscle imbalances where the body's trying to compensate from their imbalances in their body.
Yes. Yeah. So, Grant, I want to know what led you to being so passionate to keep working with people at 68 years young, because you've got quite a substantial clientele, you've got quite a following in the local community, so there has to be a love for you to do it. When you could be just retiring and not doing much at all. But I want you to tell the listeners about your passion for this work.
Absolutely. And it's come about my pathways, because of the pathway of what happened to me. I've just been on a constant ongoing mission to find ways of, one, to help myself first, because we need to be an asset to ourselves first. Otherwise, you become a liability to others. And so that's important. So you need to be a good asset to yourself. So you're able to better help other people and stuff like that. My passion came about from my injuries. So I had to go on a mission to find great ways of helping myself to maintain all-round wellness. So I talk about all-round wellness, not just like fitness, so you can have quality of life. And the most of the people that I have in my clients are over 50. I do have a few younger ones, because what I do also is good for the younger ones, is they just want to feel good, they want to look good, they want to have the energy and the vitality for a lot, just to play with their children or their grandchildren and stuff like that. They've passed competing. Yes. They don't want to compete, but they want to have mobility. Yeah. They want to have range of motion, want to have flexibility and be able to do the things that they love to do on a daily basis and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's probably been my biggest mission, my biggest passion to help people with that. And also to just find a sense of purpose of giving one a reason to get up in the morning. To sort of do what you sort of love, you know. So I don't look at that as a job. It's something that I love. People say, oh,
you love doing.
Don't you want to retire? I just said, I don't look at it as work. It's just that. And I meet a beautiful range of people. So they become very good friends. Like all my clients are all beautiful friends as well. You know, they're not just like a client. They're just like, we have a special connection.
Grant, part of what you do, and I just want to touch on your body flow workout, and we'll be delving into this in greater depth in the coming weeks, but you developed this beautiful exercise session called the body flow workout. And I want you to describe for our listeners what a body flow workout looks and feels like for someone.
Okay, it's a combination of the flow aspects of yoga, but it's not yoga, but incorporates a few of the aspects of yoga, okay? There's no harsh holds or anything like that, because a lot of people that have injuries holding those harsh poses, if your body's not used to it.
They're difficult.
Yeah, it can be a little bit difficult and challenging if you've got an injury. Also, to incorporates aspects of Pilates, which is kind of like a little bit more Pilates, but my real power and where people get most benefit is kind of like the power flow of Tai Chi and Qigong and Kung Fu, the gentle flow aspects of those movements, because they're kind of like where you're standing and you can incorporate doing a lot of those beautiful things sitting in a chair or at a bench seat or anything like that. So you can incorporate that. So it incorporates the movements of all those. Is it Tai Chi? No. Is it Qigong? No. Is it Pilates? No. Is it yoga? No. Is it Kung Fu? No. But incorporates the beautiful range of motion that all of those modalities have. So I'm constantly on lookout and say, yes, that looks good. So I look, I have connection with kind of like yogi people, Pilates people, Tai Chi. I work, I have close connection with people who are in the Tai Chi, doing Qigong and all that, which I go and do some of those sort of things, incorporate some of those beautiful movements and stuff like that. So the Tai Chi flow that I incorporate in is a little bit different than what you see in the parks, okay? It's a little bit more functional, what's going to help you on an everyday functional movement. So when you have to come and turn, you're going to be able to turn without saying, oh, my back, like that. It's kind of like getting used to all that rotational movement. So they're all like beautiful flow movements. And probably the an animal that I'm inspired by, even though some people go, is kind of like the flow movements and the beautiful, graceful movement of like a python snake and the power and the grace of a python snake and how they can just move and stuff like that. And also to my other beautiful symbol animal, if anybody's listening there, one of my totem animals is the eagle. They soar and they graceful movements through the eye like that. And they're always like present and beautiful, developing like all power. All those ones are kind of like incredible through power, because power comes from a state of relaxation and stillness. So, and they're always ready. So you see the eagle soaring and everything like that, but when it's ready, it will strike. Same with a snake. It'll just put graceful movement and then they move. And the same with like, a crocodile, you know, people, crocodile, and I think, you think a crocodile's got into position by rushing up there like a mad thing, like people do in a lot of ways. They're charging around like a river in flood, like that, and then you do loads of damage to yourself. I think, no, they've got to do it with stealth and grace and control movement. And then they're in a state of kind of like total relaxation, total stillness. And then they can strike with enormous power.
So what you're suggesting is that the power of your body flow workout actually comes from quiet, slow strength and movement versus what we often see, that explosive, cardio-packed running, jumping, lunging kind of stuff. So do you have elements of those in your workout, or do you always try and come from that?
Yeah, it's slow interesting, strength. Tony, you're saying that, because when I'm sharing it with other people, sharing it with other people, say, you're not going to get any cardio with that workout. And I said, come and experience it. And I said, your cardio will be going out the roof. Because I have your people moving in different angles and all that, moving in different planes and stuff like that. And then we increased the tempo a little bit. We got very slow. We got holds and all that. And if you're in a situation where you can't hose and all your muscles have to be in like engaged and you're in stillness, man, your muscles are working like crazy. So people are kind of like sweating.
I was just going to say, I think that we sometimes forget that our muscles are working even in stillness. If you're holding a certain pose, like in yoga or Pilates for that matter. But they really work hard, don't they? And the thing about aging, and I've been doing some research on this because I'm interested in my own aging process and trying to keep my body as healthy as I can. I've talked about this publicly before, but I've got chronic rheumatoid arthritis, And statistically and research-wise, that's not going to be great on my body. But I've found, and it's been confirmed in talking to Grant, that there is a power in exercise that is gentle and shorter versus powerful and longer. And for me, I'm working out that a 20-minute more gentle exercise works much better for me. My muscles and my body doesn't get terribly sore. It keeps my strength in balance. It does get my heart rate going, even in that 20-minute session, but it doesn't have the same impact because, as you probably know, Grant, rheumatoid arthritis sits in that connective tissue around all of
your
joints.
That's it.
They're inflamed, essentially, and you don't want to inflame them anymore because you're already dealing with a bit of pain on a regular basis because of that inflammation process. So any exercise that I do, or a lot of people with chronic illness of any description, it should be more around that gentle strength that you describe in your body flow workouts.
Absolutely.
As we age, we need to adjust the way that we exercise and look at the actual program we're doing and the impact it has on our body, because we've only got one body, right? And we want to make it last.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's my mission. My mission is to deal with the 90% plus that can't stand the gyms. The gyms are only catered for less than 5%, actually less than 3% of the people, okay?
Right.
Most people, majority of people are put off by the gyms and all those boot camps and the F45s and the kind of like CrossFit and all that.
Yes.
But I've got a huge number of clients who've been built up, Mr. and Mrs. Average, who've been beat up from those things like that. I think, oh, we need to do that because of friends and everything like that. Yeah, that just they're beat up. And I say to them, I said, oh, are you competing? Because they're only designed for kind of like more elite athletes. The whole programs are only based around like that. How do I know?
Right.
I've been in the fitness industry for kind of like 40 years. I've done all those sort of things. Yes. So I sort of know and stuff like that. So my mission is to cater for the kind of like 95% of the people who want to be able to have the energy and the vitality to do what they love to do. They wouldn't want to do an activity and then feel so beat up that they're so damn sore to kind of like do anything for the next 3 or 4 days, you know? Just who wants that sort of like that? Because they want to still have the energy to go do. You know, might go for a little bike ride or a hike or a swim or stuff like that, or be able to play with their grandchildren or their children and whatever like that. But just have the energy to get up where they're not feeling so sore and can't beat up that they're like that. I said, oh, I say to people who are like that, I said, oh, are you competing in a competition or some sort? Okay. I said, yeah, I've been down that, but I was kind of like in my 20s and 30s. And by the time I got to my late 30s and 40s, I had so many injuries, so kind of like that. We just need to look at the people who have been in that. They just, you know, got constant sort of in a state of injury and pain and aches and all that. So I've been there, done that, and if I overdo things, it's just a signal to say, hey, Grant, you sort of kind of like been pushing the boundaries there a little bit. So, yeah, so that's my whole mission is to cater for people who are in that night of who cannot stand the gyms, all that sort of mentality. So I can't love that. Because I can tell you all the people that experience what I do, without a fail, I'd say 100% go, wow. And they just said, Grant, you need to get this out to people because they just so, wow, because it covers all aspects you need, including the cardio, where people listening say that it's not going to get cardio. Because I have people moving in different angles and stuff like that. And I only need a space of about 2 to 3 meters. And then I'll add things like, if they want strength, they say, oh, I'm not going to get strength. I'll come and do a workout with me and I'll show you how to get set of strength. And as you can see, I'm 68 and I have body tone of kind of like most people who are kind of like in their 30s and 40s. And I don't do any of those crazy heavy weights, but I use like things like power tubes, power bands, TheraBands, that sort of stuff, where you just like go to the resistance that your body will go to. Naturally. In other words, I call it your threshold point. You're working to your threshold point. So you're not sort of straining and all that sort of stuff. And also I say to people, I said, oh, if you drop a dumbbell on your foot, you're kind of like going to be out of action a bit. But I said, if you drop a power tube on your a little a bench or like that, you're still going to be okay.
Yes.
So you can do everything.
I know.
But with that $10-$15 power tube power bank, I can do anything that those sophisticated machines are in the gym.
Ah, and I noticed
I can
too,
do everything. I can attach
body
it. Yeah, I can attach it. Yes. I attach it to a post. I can stand on it and all that. I can do different things. And I can use it as a workout. I can use it as a warm-up. And I can do the amazing stretch downs as well, which I sort of do. So I do like body – you've seen some of my live videos, Tony. I endeavor to do those a week. Yeah. Yeah.
With just a yoga mat and not much else, hey?
Correct. Just have the mat because sometimes I do – I do a lot of movements, like stretch down movements, and I do I can do a whole workout in the mat, and then I can give people a beautiful 20-minute workout sitting on a chair and they go wow. Just like sitting on a chair where you can do beautiful movements and strength, which incorporates strength, flexibility on a chair. I can give people a beautiful 10-minute to 15, and as you mentioned before, Tony, I'm a big one, like on a daily basis, I'll go and just say, I can do like any like, people say, oh, you must work out at the gym all the time. I said, I don't go near a gym. I said, I do a lot of 15-to-20-minute workouts.
Yes. Yes. I was going to say for me.
And I can do, might do them twice a day. I might do like that. Yes. Or like gentle flow. Might say, oh, yeah, I've got, I'll do some beautiful Tai Chi Qigong flow and incorporate a lot of that, or beautiful flow move, which is kind of like praying mantis kung fu. So it's all very soft and stuff like that, but very, very, very powerful. Because as I said before, power comes from a state of relaxation and stillness. So, So you're not in a state of tension where the muscles are all locked up. So,
Yes. I know since I've known Grant, and I've known Grant for just a little while now, but it had tweaked my interest in the changes. So back of years ago now, before I had the rheumatoid, I used to do some pretty heavy workouts and Pilates and stuff. And as my condition got worse, I sort of got out of that. And then in getting to know Grant and talk to Grant, I've started to look back at some of the changes in the way we look at exercise, and particularly the way that we look at exercise as we age. And I think it's important that we have that conversation about, do you really need to be doing those big, long, heavy duty gym sessions, or is it enough, as Grant says, to do something that's more mindful, slower, but still gives you the same outcome that you want? And for me, it's been a real revelation in researching and talking to Grant about the stuff that he does, that it has the same impact. You can see looking at Grant that he is fit and healthy at 68, and he doesn't go to a gym. So I guess the element that we want to get across in these series of shows with Grant is about a different way of thinking about moving and exercise as we age. And I'm really grateful that Grant agreed to help me get this message across and to talk to people about other avenues, because at the end of the day, we all should be exercising and we all want to live a fit, healthy, long life. And if there's different ways of doing that outside of gym, because I'm with you, Grant, I do not like gyms. They are just icky places from my perspective. I know lots of friends who love them and adore them, and that's fantastic. But for me, it was about finding a different way. And I started to think more about that since getting to know Grant and his body flow workout. So, listeners, we are just about out of time already. We've had a little bit of a hiccup at the start of the show, but next week, Grant and I are going to be talking about massage, all the glorious details about why massage is important and why it's so good for you. I'm obviously a devotee. I love massage, particularly for stress. And additionally, for me, it's about keeping my body supple and moving. But predominantly, again, it's about that management of stress in my life. And Grant has a beautiful massage practice. That's part of what he does, as well as these other workouts. So we're going to be exploring some of those discussions around massage next week. So listeners, thank you for listening to Grant and I. Grant, thank you for persevering and getting live on the show today. We will be back next week with the wonderfulness of Grant Wood, including how you can connect with Grant. We'll tell you all about that next week. If you have any questions in the meantime, jump onto RadioTony.com. You will also find all of Grant's info and connection details on RadioTony.com under co-hosts. And in the meantime, I want to encourage you all to get out there and do some gentle exercise. And join us next week for another conversation with the wonderful Grant Wood from Body Flow. Thanks, Grant. Over to you now, TJ.